I'm just wondering, should I say it's good to be here? Good to be in the pulpit? Or just good to be in the congregation? I would rather sit down there in the congregation this evening, but as we're here this evening and we just trust the Lord will give us help and guidance as we come to the preaching of the word and also with a testimony. If I could just say a few things before I go any further. One is to the men and women who are going to sing at my ordination. I thank you. Three and I thank you in the Lord for doing that, and it is our privilege to have you, and it is a joy. Also, my dad's going to sing that night as well, and so I thank you in the Lord for singing, and I hear your practicing has been going very well, and so I'm looking forward to it on the night on Thursday coming this week. Well, just a few other things. For some people, today is just another day. For some people, it's just another Sabbath day. But for me, Sheree, Luke, Benjamin, and Joel, this is a different day for us. Quite difficult, quite hard. Over the last month since we got the call for Craigfergus, we've looked forward to going to Craigfergus to serve the Lord. The Lord definitely gave us the certain call. We did it with hearts which are ready to serve Him. We went to be guided by the call of the Lord. But the days got closer and closer, and it wasn't until Thursday evening that I realized that Thursday evening was my last prayer meeting in Macrofelt before I take charge of the congregation in Craigfergus. And then today, my wife and I got very nervous, realizing that this is the last time that we'll be in this congregation before we take charge of this congregation in Carrickfergus. My family and I would like to publicly thank this congregation for so many things. For your friendship, for your guidance, for the practicalness in the gospel, for your prayers, for your encouragement, and to Edna McKee for her hugs. And I've noticed over the last couple of days and a couple of weeks, people seem to have noticed that Edna's giving hugs because I'm getting hugs from other people. And I thank you all for everything you've done for us as we've encouragement you have been to us. I thank the Lord for spiritual teaching here from our minister, my dad, and from Reverend Ryan McKee here in Macrofelt. We're not going very far away, but still, there's going to be a distance between us. No longer will we be here. And we shall miss you. And we shall miss your friendship indeed. We shall miss our family. My own minister was my dad. We shall miss him and mum. Miss my family circle. And Sri will miss hers. Whenever Sheree and I get married, we eventually moved to Macrofelt, which only took her 9 miles from Macrofelt. Now we're going 46 miles from her home. And we're going a little further, or 48 miles. I've got it wrong. I had it written in front of me. And we'll miss the family, and she'll miss being so close to her family, and I'll miss being so close to them. And we'll miss being so close to mine. As my mum says, I have 283 steps from her house, her front door to mine. But there's other things, just not just our family. I'll miss the family of God. I'll miss coming to the services. I'll miss coming to the prayer meetings. And to Kyle and Andrew, Sheree will miss going to the Macrofelt work, and I will miss going to the Macarau work. And I want to assure both you gentlemen that we will be praying for you both, and we will be holding you up before the Lord. We thank you for your kindness to us and for allowing us to take part in those meetings, and we all miss you in the Lord. It's not easy to leave people whom you love. It's not easy to leave people whom you've grown up with. It's not easy to leave people who can confidently come in secrecy, or confidently come when there's an issue. I was asking somebody the other day, will they miss us, just in passing, joking with them. And he said, I'll not miss you because you're never here. And I said, fair enough. He says, but I'll miss Sheree. And then he said, and I didn't tell the boys this, he said, I'll miss the boys running up the stairs towards church on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And I also said to another lady, which I will not say who she is, But I know where she's sitting in this meeting. And she said, I'll not miss your ugly mug, but I'll miss Cherise. And then she said, I'm only joking. And I trust that she is only joking. those are the things which we will miss. But we miss so many kind comments which everybody has given to us. Next Sabbath day, and as we thought on this, a few teardrops did fall. Next Sabbath day, our seats in this congregation will be missing. We'll not be there, but we will be serving the Lord in Carrickfergus Free Presbyterian Church. Pray for us, for we're laborers together in the Lord. And it's our prayer, and this is Shree and I were talking about this morning, it's our prayer that though we're missing, that the Lord will send someone else to fill our seats in this congregation. And our seats will not be empty for very long, but the Lord will fill them. And you pray with me that the Lord will do that, but also that the Lord will enable us to see the Lord's work going forward in Carrickfergus as well. I ask you to pray for us, that we would know the Lord's help. For sure it is only the Lord that bringeth forth the feast. Now after that, I'll try and give a word of testimony. I want you to read one verse of Scripture in our Bibles this evening. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 17. And I normally don't read this verse when I'm testifying, but because the Lord has placed it upon my heart for what I'm desiring to close with this evening, I'm going to read this verse of Scripture because it also is a good testimony verse, which everybody, I would say, in this congregation that knows and loves the Lord will know very well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's just unite our hearts before God in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee again. We can come before thee. We thank thee, Father, for the faithfulness that thou art to us. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast given us a testimony to tell others of the saving grace of God in our lives. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast been faithful to us. We thank thee for keeping us. And as we spend our last Sabbath day here in this congregation before we go to serve thee in Carrickfergus, we pray that you'll place your hand upon us. Pray that you'll come amongst this congregation. And as we congregate together, may each one of us know a touch from God. Lord, lead this meeting. And may there be not one that has left this meeting that goes away saying they never heard about Christ. But Lord, may there be signs following the preaching of the word. May people know, as the final hymn that was sang, life at best is very brief. It's like a falling of a leaf. Lord, may they be in time. Bless us, I pray thee, in the Savior's name. Amen. I thank the Lord that I have got a testimony that I can give, because that tells me that there was a moment in my life when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. You know, I've given my testimony in a number of places of late, and I've been thinking about on my testimony in a lot of ways. Yes, when you grew up in your home, and I thank the Lord that my dad is a minister of this congregation and my mom was saved as well and the wife of a minister, and thankful that that was the case, that we were able to grow up. They were influences in my life, but there's two people in my life which were influences which I would like to start off and give praise to the Lord for. My Grandad McRae. Whenever I was a young boy, he took most Ian and I to his home each Sunday afternoon. And there he told us many stories. He told us many truths, even on those Saturdays or other days. We took us to get ice cream in Stewartstown. He told us little truths about the Word of God. And I can say that when my Grandad McRae told us things, you listened. And my heart was pricked. My conscience was pricked. And I was grounded in the things of God by my Grandad McRae. There's another man who also influenced me, and it was my grandfather, McKnight. When my granny died, Grandad McKnight came to live with us in Macrofield. He spent a brief period of time there. He also made a lasting impression upon my life. Firstly, towards having fitness in your life, he said everybody should be able to do some sort of fitness to keep yourself fit, to keep your body fit and mind fit. I learned that by every time I went to his room. He took me and Ian both, and he set us down. He says, right, I want you to do three sets or reps of sit-ups and three reps and sets of sit-ups and press-ups. And we did both those, and then we went and got him his tea. But there once again, another faithful grandparent, he told us and challenged us about the things of God. And you know, after in such a way of both my grandparents telling me such things, Sister Sharon and Ian, graciously and as children can do, told me I needed to be saved. And that night, that Sabbath day, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. That night, I settled it with the Lord. I went to church just as I normally did. And I heard preaching, and sometimes you don't know what you preach on. I had to actually go check Dad's book to find out what I did, what he preached on a number of years ago. I checked this. He preached the words of "You must be born again." And I can surely tell you that that night, at the age of 3, I got saved knowing that I must be born again. It sounds simple, doesn't it? But that's exactly how salvation is. The Bible tells us that you must be born again. And that's reality. You must be born again. Well, that night I was born again, and I was trusting in the Lord, and I was able to tell others about Jesus Christ. And I grew up in my schooling years, and I got till the age of, well, I was in P4, so I was 7 or 8 years of age. When I got to P4, there was another great day in our life. We were told we're going to London. Dad was called to go and see the Queen, and that day was a special day that all the family were sent over to London, and we looked forward to that day. And I remember standing at school, and I had a guard of honour that day. It wasn't the Queen's, but it was the school guard of honour. I would say, clapped their hands and waved us off as we left to go towards London to see the Queen on that occasion. We had our congratulations. We went and seen, and Dad went to see the Queen. We went over, we seen her going past in her gold chariots and everything else. And whenever I got back, everybody wanted to hear about the Queen and what happened. But you know the one thing that saddened me, and I look back today and it saddens me, that not one asked about the King of Kings. Not one wanted to know about Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the same today we have, that many people do not want to talk about the Lord. They don't want to, they'll say openly, I got a glimpse of the Queen, I sent a letter, I talked to one of the guards, or I spoke to someone, or I was at Buckingham Palace, and what a wonderful place it is, but dare you speak of the Lord? Yet doesn't the Queen tell us each year about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Just to go on a little bit, because my dad told me something tonight which he never tells himself. He said, beware of the time. So I'm going to go on a little bit till I was aged 8. Jumping 4 years, that's me wondering the time. Well, I grew up when I was 8 years of age, and that's whenever I began to stop getting shy. I started to open my mouth. Whenever I'm around Noreen King, I don't have a chance, but I learned to open my mouth and try to speak a little bit more. And I seemingly told, and I think I remember, and Mum kept telling me for many years, that at the age of 8, I said I would love to be a preacher of the Word of God. Age of eight, the Lord began to reach into my heart and tell me where he should go, and Mum often told me of it. And later on in my life, it just kind of got out of my mind. But there in that life, They're 8 years of age. That's what I wanted to do. Others wanted to be spacemen or wanted to be rally drivers. I wanted to be a preacher. It wasn't long till I got to the big school. You know, whenever I got to the big school, I'm kind of nosy. Whenever I got to the big school, I found out that whenever my brother and sister Sharon and Ian got the big school, they got to go to prayer meeting. And I had no idea what prayer meeting was. And I said, well, if they're going to prayer meeting, I wanted to go. And I had to go and plead with Dad to let me go to a prayer meeting. And I had to plead with Mum to let me go to a prayer meeting. And I went then to the prayer meeting and found out that prayer meeting was just another meeting in the church. But I love the prayer meeting. I love going to the prayer meeting. And I thought, whenever they were going, it must be a wonderful place. Surely I can say it was. But you know, I remember sitting beside Ian. We used to love hearing people pray. Sometimes we laughed. We thought it was funny at the beginning. But we loved to hear people pray. There's something that burdened me over the years if I attended their prayer meetings. Some people that I heard at the beginning praying don't pray anymore. Some people at the beginning of our prayer meeting don't attend the prayer meeting anymore. And some of them are cold. Before I go any further, I want to ask you, the believers in Christ, to attend the prayer meeting and to pray for those that don't pray. Pray for those that don't come along. Pray the Lord will bring them back to these meetings. Bring them back to their prayer meeting. The Lord says, mine house should be an house of prayer. Maybe come back to the place and maybe a people of prayer. Well, I was at the prayer meeting and I enjoyed then going to the prayer meeting and hear people pray. And I can still remember hearing them up in the upper room and hearing them pray and then going into the main auditorium in the complex and hearing the people pray. And as I said, it saddens me, but there came a stage in my life where I didn't pray anymore. I stopped reading the Word of God. I stopped being active in the things of God. If I'm honest, it was non-existent. That little boy who wanted to be a preacher, who faithfully told others, got to the stage where he no longer wanted to be interested in the things of God. That's how it can get. That's how it can get. Sometimes when you're interested in the things of God, and you stop reading the Word of God, and you stop praying, you stop seeking God's face, you can get yourselves cold. And your interest will start becoming disappearing towards the things of God, and you'll get cold, and you'll secretly be spiraling out of control. And I trust you're able to admit it. And tonight, just like I was back then, maybe you're far from Christ. Just to go on a little further, in my teens I met a young girl. She wasn't that big, she still isn't that big, she's sitting over there and she was singing with me a while ago. Met her over a car in Dungannon. I was taken to one of her, he's now one of her elders in our Sharkin church, George Hanna. Took me to the barbecue, and there across the car our eyes met. I saw this wee girl, she saw me, and whatever happened, we clicked, and love began to blossom, and now she became my wife, and I became her husband, and we thank the Lord that we are together. But you know one thing, whenever I met Sri, there was something about her. She was a backslider, but she loved coming to church. She loved coming to church. This is one thing that struck us. I'm not going into details because of time this evening. People prayed for us. And I thank God for people that pray for us. The hard thing that we have is that person that prayed for us. Now we're praying for her. But let me say something very publicly. It is good to have people who pray for you. So I said Sri wanted to go to the church. She wanted to go to the services. And if I'm honest at this stage, and if, and As a preacher, I have to be very honest, and I was only attending services because Sri wanted to go. Well, our relationship blossomed. We got married, and the Lord blessed us. And early in our marriage, the Lord began to speak to us and challenge us of the things of God. And the Lord began to deal with us and convicted of us our wayness and challenged us of where our lives were leading and where we were going to. And after many weeks of conviction and many weeks of struggling, many unsettled nights, and there was many unsettled nights, in the early hours of one morning, in the month of August, we both got down on our knees beside our bed and called upon the name of the Lord. Lord, restore unto us the joy of our salvation, just like David of old did. And I can truly say that the Lord did restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Do you want to know how? Because our home changed. The Bible was opened. The Bible was opened. Even we all wanted to read the Bible, and then we got involved in other works as well. But the Lord blessed us, and the Lord kept us, and the Lord blessed our home, and the Lord blessed us further, giving us responsibility of being parents to three children, Luke, Benjamin, and Joel. The Lord's told us to train them up in the way that they should go. And we are praying the Lord would lead and guide them. Just to go back a little bit, I thank the Lord for Rodney Mitchell. Not saying this because he's sitting here. That year, Rodney Mitchell was doing a mission here in the church, children's mission. And the call came out that he needed children's meeting workers for that mission. And that's whenever the Lord began to deal in our hearts, and we went from there. And I believe that's a stepping stone to there, to then, whenever Rodney left that work, where we went on to be, along with three other men, Andrew, Kyle, and Ryan, to be leadership of that work. Then the Lord took me to Bible college. But that was a stepping stone where the Lord was leading and guiding. The Lord said unto me in many passages, I'm not going into them. It's Jeremiah chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, preach the word, verse 2. My wife and I prayed about these things. We wondered about these things and we desired. And there's something that always plagues upon your mind, especially when you're a preacher's son. Am I going to Bible college because my dad's a minister? Am I going to Bible college because it's natural progression? And I went through a lot of thoughts, a lot of searching, a lot of times praying with my wife. The Lord told us that we needed to go. He says, he told us the harvest field is white. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers. You know, sometimes later I still questioned, and it was these words above me in this pulpit. It's fitting my last evening before I head to Craigfergus. I stand below them. A challenge to me. I was sitting up there in that evening service. I sat and I prayed, God, if you want me to go to Bible college to serve you, if you want our family to be led by thee, show me this evening. And Dad didn't preach a thing towards Bible college. And I went, oh no, where are we going to go? That's okay, Lord. But Luke sat beside me and he wrote the words of this up on top. He said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. To Dad, from Luke, that night I broke in tears. I said, over to you, Lord. And ever since that moment, it's been over to you, Lord. And the Lord took us to college and he set us through there and we passed. The Lord passed all the examinations, and I can truly say the Lord did great things, because I'm sure, especially over the last year, and coming to that examination, the Lord definitely drew nigh. But now we leave this congregation with a testimony. We leave it. I commend my wife and family to you. We go to Carrickfergus to serve the Lord. It is an end of a moment or an era. I said it's a brokenness. We leave one family circle to go, but it's a new beginning. It's our new beginning, and we're looking forward to serving the Lord. As your ministers stand here next Lord's Day, I'll stand behind the sacred desk in Craigfergus. As you pray for them, pray for me. You know, one thing that pleases me so much is that our boys are saved. And I trust that the experiences which I have in my life will not just be something that'll say, well, that's okay, but that they'll see them, that they'll be boys, young men, in the Lord, that they will love the Lord with all their hearts, and they'll serve them, they'll serve the Lord well. I thank you for listening. My testimony is that the Lord saved me. I was a sinner, saved by grace, and I thank the Lord for everything he has done. If you would just read with me that one verse again in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And sometimes we come, and I often try, and I know when I come to this church with Dad and Ryan, they try to alliterate every point. This evening I'm just going to go through the verse. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says these words. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Just for a moment, let's seek the Lord. Father in heaven, as we come to the preaching of thy word, we pray you'll bless us, we pray your hand be upon each one. If there's those in this meeting that know not Christ, may they look upon this verse. May they be challenged by the words of this verse, knowing that they're not just man's words, but they are divine, holy scripture words, O Lord of God. Open the eyes of the sinful, we pray thee. May they look and live, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to take up much of your time because time is going on. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold all things are become new. I could have read the rest of these verses in the scripture, and probably would have been appropriate for me to do so, but this verse has been sticking on my mind. This verse begins with the one word. And it says at the beginning of this verse, it says, therefore. And just to give you a little insight to what that word actually means, it means that we must stop, as it were, in having a conversation. If you were having a conversation with somebody in the street or in this meeting house this evening, you say, well, therefore. It's like, stop. Take at ease. Wait a little moment. It's like a pause to reflect on what has been said. Not only that, pause to reflect on what's about to come. For if we pause to reflect on this word of in verse 17, the very first word, if we pause to reflect therefore, then we should consider what the words say before that. Because if we give you a little example, in verse 10 it tells you wonderful words which should be a challenge to everyone's heart. Because this is real, folks. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive of the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We must all. Therefore, what has come before is a warning that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Do you know why the preacher often stands in this pulpit and he weeps tears, or he says the words of God and with the passion of his heart? Do you know why he says it? Because the words of verse 11 tell us, knowing that therefore,
The terror of the Lord. We persuade men. Knowing, therefore, the preacher should pause to consider what is being said. Consider the hearts of the people gathered in a congregation. And he says, knowing the terror of the Lord. That's why the preacher preaches. So we should listen to the words before, but what comes after? We'll not read them all, but verse 18, 19, 20, they tell us these things. Look at verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Therefore, listen to what is before, but listen to what about Christ. Christ had no sin, but he was made for it. He's made sin for us. You know, if you get to the word, therefore, I trust that everybody does. And some unsaved people do. They read the word of God. They wonder about things. But see, when you read the word of God, unsaved and saved, they want to say something to you. Do you think on what the word of God really is saying? Or is it that we say, let's read a chapter today and get it over? How does the word of God affect you? How does the word of God affect you? Are you then willing to pause in your reading for a moment and allow God to speak to you, to tell you what he would have for you? Or are you happy to read over 2 Corinthians 5:17? Never consider really what has been said. Here, when the word therefore comes up, the Apostle Paul is wanting something. He wants the people of Corinth to understand what is being said. He wants the people of Corinth to be reconciled towards God. And here this evening as we gather, that's the plea as the Apostle Paul presents these words, that you would be reconciled to God. And the Apostle Paul does as we do. He presents the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And he says, therefore, if ye believe in God, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he shall be a new creature. Therefore. And then we have that little word, if. If in the context of what's being said, if in the wording of the reading, and as if there's a little block there at that very beginning of that verse, therefore, and the if at that word is nearly like a question, like an imaginary question mark. Therefore, if any man or any person be in Christ, he's a new creature. The Lord is using the Apostle Paul at this point to present or to point to the people that they would understand that there is a change that needs to exist if they're ever to be known as the people that be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And he knows that there should be a change in what they are considering. That they should have a time of reflection of their lives, which they have. A reflection on where their lives are taking them to. For example, I gave a word of testimony at the beginning of this meeting. What really here is telling us, it's if any man be in Christ, if anyone has a testimony. If, and that's important. That's really important here. Because it rubbishes the thought of good works that's going to get you into heaven. It rubbishes the thought because it tells us that if, that means that there must be a change over the human being. Their life must come from a life that's living towards death and destruction from it to a life that is a life of meaning. And you see, when someone receives Christ, when someone is the barrier of not just being the if, but being in Christ, then it is the point where they have, that they have changed from being a devotion to sin, but to have a life of a devotion to God. You see, our life, living as we live in life of sin, is a life which has a devotion to lies. A life which has a devotion to deceit. A life which has a devotion to ungodliness. But if you come to Christ, has he put off the old man? Unsaved person this evening, stop feeding ungodliness. Follow God. Follow God. You see, these words show us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, you know what they show us? They show us that not everybody in this world is saved. Not everybody's heaven bound. Contrary to what many people believe or think, we are not all saved. We're not all bound towards heaven. But it tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And that relates to us, that not everyone is a new creature in Christ, because we're born in sin. But if any man or woman or child shall receive Christ, you know what the Bible tells us? They shall be saved. You say, what does my sin do? Your sin separates you from God. If you live in sin, then you're not saved. And you're not going to heaven. Then you say to me, Stephen, what is then? What is a new creature? Please tell me. What is a new creature? How can I understand it? Well, a new creature is someone who has been saved. A new creature is defined as this. It is something or someone who is not the same spiritually as they were before. And that means they've turned away from the way which they have lived. They've turned from their old life of sin. And they've had a complete turnaround to the way which they are now living. Thus, a new creature is something that is fresh. A new creature is something that's unique. You know, we're all unique in the Lord. A new creature is defined as someone who's unique, who's fresh, but without accepting Christ, you can be none of those. Because if you're not saved, you're not unique. You may think you do something that somebody else doesn't do, or does. Or doesn't do. But you're just following the crowd. Following the crowd. Following all whatever everybody else does. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what about you? Are you in Christ? If not, why not? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what does the Bible say continually? All things are passed away. Do you know, this evening the Bible tells us there in that word that says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And then we break and he says, all things are passed away. Imagine if it was you that was asked this evening to come to this pulpit to stand here and give a personal word of testimony. Maybe people think that you're saved, but you don't have a testimony. What would you say? The old things haven't been passed away. How would you present your case before the people of this congregation that are expecting to hear a testimony of the saving grace in your life? And yet you don't have one. But never mind the people. Get back to number 10, verse 10 in this chapter. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And we must come before the judgment seat of God. And what will you say to God if I have no testimony? Will you say, well, God, I thought that maybe if I could do this. And God would say, no. But God, I thought that there was something else there which I was unable to do along with others. And God would say, there's no excuses. You see, we must all come before the judgment seat of God. And if we're not a new creature, the old things will not be passed away. You see, a testimony means that you've rejected sin. And it means that there's been an experience in your life where you've got to know God. You see, there's an old and there's a new. The old refers to an old nature, an old life. The new refers to what Christ can offer. The old refers to us loving sin, us sinning willfully. But the one who trusts in the Lord, he's a new creature. I want you all to listen for a moment. Maybe you haven't been listening. I want you to listen to this carefully. Because something I want each one of you to grasp. All things are passed away. What a joy it is to know that all things are passed away. What a joy it is to know that God's in our life. What a joy to know it is that God did it through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, His only beloved. So, let's not say if. When you get saved, in that moment, you will know that up to that point in your life, you have been a sinner. But God tells us the old things are passed away. But this is what I want to tell you. It doesn't say you're going to forget those sins. For you'll remember those sins you committed against God. You will desire that you could. I talked to a man, I maybe said last time I was here. I talked to a man and he says sometimes he weeps tears over his old sins, but he knows God's forgiven them. Sometimes we desire that we could forget them, don't we? We could just leave them off. Sometimes we say, I wish, or if only I could never have committed them, but you did. And their sin. And if for a moment you will forget them, there will be someone who will try and throw up your sin to remind them. And do you know what that does? That tries to hinder you. But you see, until that moment when you got saved, you've been walking without care. You've been walking without God. And even when you get saved, even though the people will remember those sins, and though people may try to bring them up to you, I want you to remember this, that the Bible tells us that my sins and my iniquities will I remember no more. You see, father, mother, young son or daughter, in this meeting that are gathered here, you can't take your sins back. And if it happens, then it happens. But if you receive Christ, you'll regret them. As I said, even though some others think of them, remember, Those sins are under the blood. See, people might throw them up to you. But praise God, God says He'll keep you. So get your eyes off what people are saying. Get your eyes off what people are hindering, you to come to Christ. And get your eyes on the real goal. Heaven. Christ. Because a new creature looks towards Christ. The old has died. We're made anew. You know, I talked to a man for many, many years. You know what he said to me every time? Something's holding me back. Praise God, nothing's holding him back tonight. Praise God, the Lord saved him. You know what happened in that life? The old things were passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's a change that comes over. And there's a wanting to cast away, a cast aside that life. Yes, you'll battle against the flesh. But if you get saved, there's going to be a new desire upon your life. Because then you will be reconciled to God. An unsaved person. I spoke of my testimony. Yet you have no testimony and you're not reconciled to God because of your sin. My sins hold me back, you say. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. You know that word means that word, behold. And I like this word. I'm going to close now. Says, let it be. Let it be. Behold. Let it be. It is like a shout or a proclamation in the land. It is a truth. A truthful saying that has occurred upon a life. Upon a life that's changed by God alone. What about you? It's like that old town crier which you here, I used to walk around the town and tell the truths. Things that are happening, things that are coming up. And we can say that tonight, as the town crier says, behold, Stephen McRae is saved. Now I want you to say it in your heart. I want you to be truthful to God. Behold, put your name in. You tell God, God really knows, you tell Him if you're saved or not. Behold. Behold. And you know what the man could say? Man, the town crier could shout up, behold. The destination of someone in this meeting is hell. He said, say, I behold heaven. But you're for hell. And I can't answer for you. But you know where you're going. I started with my testimony, and because of time, we made this message as simple as we could. As I close, I trust you'll leave this place with a testimony. Not just heard mine. But tonight, you will be a new creature in Christ Jesus. At this night, you will have a testimony of the saving grace of God in your life. I pray the Lord would speak to your heart, that you would become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Lord.